everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, today, we're going to be talking about a very important topic, one that's near and dear to my heart, which is building a strong relationship with your teen. Now, parenting is the best and at the same time, most challenging job you can have. And believe me, I speak from experience. I have two children, as you know, a daughter who's 23 and a son who is 20. And parenting is not an easy job. But I know, given the research, that parents have such a critical and important role in raising emotionally healthy children. Now, I understand times have changed and we're pushed to parent in a whole new way. And when our kids are young, there are plenty of resources and encouragement. But as they reach the teen and young adult years, it can be difficult to find what we need, what you need to parent effectively. My guest today then is Sandy Fowler. She is a wife, mom, and business owner whose passion is teaching people to make powerful choices. She loves to inspire young people and their parents to create emotionally healthy lives. She is a co-founder of Dasium, Upstream Solutions for Preventing Depression, Addiction, and Suicide in Teens and Young Adults, and a co-host of the Mighty Parenting Podcast, a weekly show filled with relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults in today's world. Now, I've worked with Sandy for many years. She actually used to have a radio program of her own called Heartfilled Holidays, and I was a guest on that show several times. And I know that she is smart, hardworking, and is doing wonderful work with parents and young adults. And you can learn more about Sandy, Dasium, and Mighty Parenting on mightyparenting.com. So welcome to the program, Sandy. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Terry. It is always such a pleasure to work with you through all the years. So I'm very excited to have another chance to work together.
Oh, ditto that. I've always enjoyed working with you. And I know you're always so busy, but before we get to Mighty Parenting, tell the audience about your background or what motivated you to even start Mighty Parenting.
So all of my work with families started with moms, actually. About 12 years ago.
I didn't even know that with moms. I did not know that.
I did. I was working with busy moms, just helping them to sift through their life and figure out why they go to bed every night stressed out, exhausted, and you know, this huge to-do list and still feeling crummy. So fast forward, work through that. My business partner, Judy Davis, her son had attempted suicide. And so we worked together. Obviously, we were business partners, but that took us down another path where we started expanding more to work with families, although Judy had been working with families in the military community. And we found that there was so much more going on in the world with the depression, the anxiety, the addiction, and the suicide attempts. In the news right now, you're seeing that suicide rates have gone up dramatically recently. So we started working in that arena. Well, what we wanted to do was really go upstream and try to help families to not even get to the point of dealing with, you know, clinical depression and anxiety disorders and suicide attempts. We wanted to really help them get healthy up front. So we went to Mighty Parenting and we started just getting parents the information that they need to parent tweens, teens, and 20-somethings, because life's so different now. Terry, your kids are older. Even just in these 20 years that our kids have been growing up, things have changed so much. And it's a whole different world than when we were kids.
Absolutely. So what do you see? What are those changes that you think have changed parenting so much?
There are many things that we hear about all the time. So I don't want to start there. One of the things that I see that has changed is that parenting is viewed differently. And there is so much pressure to be the perfect parent and a great parent, and so much pressure to have perfect kids and kids who never get hurt, kids who never fail, kids who never have a problem. And it messes up both the parents and the kids. So for me, that's a huge thing. And there are other things as well. I mean, obviously, technology has changed everybody's world, and it certainly has a huge impact on our parenting in positive and negative ways.
And so, you know that we as parents, you included, want, you know, what's best for our children. So you're right. We sometimes say, I have to be the perfect parent and my kids have to be the perfect parent. And as parents, we put all these expectations on our children that, you know, might be too high, might cause them stress. Do you think that's part of it as well, that, you know, we have high expectations for our kids and that it's just too stressful?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes it's not just high expectations. It's just expectations that don't match our children's. It's so funny that you brought this up, because just this earlier this week, Judy and I released this week's Mighty Parenting podcast. And that's what we talked about, is we got into, inside the podcast, we got into that, what happens when your expectations are just different from what your kid wants for their life. And yes, that creates that stress and that creates that anxiety in our kids. And it also ruins our relationships. You know, you're the relationship expert, you know, and you teach us how important these relationships are. Having those expectations of our own and trying to push our kid in that direction or smooth that road in front of them, it ruins our relationship with our child.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you said that it's not high expectations, it's different expectations than our child wants for themselves, or just they're unrealistic. And you're absolutely right. I talk about expectations all the time in relationships, because if expectations aren't met, then that causes frustration and disappointment, and it eats away at happiness, and it really affects our relationships. Now, you know, I'm always talking to undergraduate students at the university, and I'm constantly telling people that, you know, undergraduate students are constantly stressed. You know, society, parents are placing these expectations on them. And you're right, they might be too high, they might be different than what they want. And people are saying, that's not true. That's not true. We need expectations, because otherwise people won't do anything. They won't have these goals. So what do you say to parents who say that?
I agree that expectations are important. What we want is we want to communicate with our kids and build a relationship with our kids where they can be honest with us about what they want, what lights them up, what they want to do with their life. One of the big areas that I see parents and kids having a lot of tug of war over is college. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, I think that's because the kids are being pushed to work in their passion, or, you know, you have to know, my goodness, we had homeschooled for a while. And when our kids went back into the school, they went into a public school, and my younger daughter was in seventh grade. And there was already this push to know what you want to do. It wasn't just exposure to what's available. It's you have to kind of start deciding what you want to do, because now you have to choose what classes you're going to take in college to get you to the right path for, I mean, in high school, to get you the right path for college. Oh, and by the way, that means you got to pick classes for seventh grade that are going to affect your entire life.
Yes.
So it's the wording. What we want is we want our kids to have goals. And we want them to be working toward meeting those goals. The expectations are almost like a judgment sometimes around the goals.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And it starts so early. And you're right. It wasn't like that, Sandy, when we were growing up. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I went to college. And actually, one of my goals was like to meet people from different states and different cities. That was one of my goals, right? It had nothing to do with professional goals or jobs or academic goals. It really was to meet other people. So it starts so early. It starts in high school. It starts in middle school. It starts in elementary school, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's just too early. And that people, I mean, kids can have goals, but we don't want to push those expectations on them. And so how do we raise then an emotionally healthy teen? Or how do we build then as a parent, a strong relationship with our teen?
Yeah, well, there are many nuances and many things you can do, but having that powerful relationship with your child, starting obviously when they're young, but realizing that it's never too late, building that powerful relationship is going to be part and parcel of how you're parenting them and how you're raising them. But the really important piece of that is you are then a true support for them. And you are someone they can come back to if life goes sideways. Having this strong relationship doesn't mean that your child's never going to experience something difficult in life, but it means that they have someone who will have their back when they do.
And how do we tell them or show them that we have their back?
So when we talk about this in Mighty Parenting, we talk about three core areas. And we say you want to model, you want to invest, and you want to communicate. So starting with modeling, again, going back to when our kids were little, Terry, you remember when they were toddlers and how you'd turn around and they'd be doing what you were doing, just mimicking
yes.
you?
Yes.
That's how human beings learn, right? That's how we learn to sit and crawl and talk and do everything. And what we forget as parents is that they are watching everything we do. So they're learning about how to organize their life, how to respect themselves, how to talk to other people. They're learning everything and it never stops. So even when they're teenagers, they're watching what you do and consciously or unconsciously, they're going to mimic it. So you want to make sure that you're being the type of person and living the type of life you would want your child to, you know, the person you want them to be and the way that you would like them to live.
That's good. So we need to be a good role model for our children. And I, you know, studies show, Sandy, in fact, that they are watching us even more than they're listening to what we say. So that we might be saying one thing, but if we're not doing that, they're not going to be doing what we want them to do. So healthy role model. And that's true of stress. That's true of relationships. How we treat somebody when we go to a restaurant or when we're out on the street, our kids are watching us. So if we're not nice, if we're not respectful, if we're not treating other human beings well, then our children will learn unhealthy behaviors.
Yeah.
So
and,
good.
And Terry, the thing about this is, I think that as parents, we kind of get that, those outward things. The things that get us are more of the inward things. Are we being really authentic with our child? Or are we hiding the things about ourselves that, you know, we don't really want them to know about or think about? And I'm not talking about things that aren't age appropriate.
So give us an example. What does that mean?
Okay. So in college, I was going to say most people I know have done things that they thought were really stupid when they were in college. Mm-hmm. I did not talk to my children about those things when they were in elementary school or when they were in junior high. But as they came to be in college, I opened up inappropriate situations and I would say, hey, you know, your mother went out and she, I don't want to say some of these things on the air, but okay, your mother got stupid drunk when, you know, she went to this party and she got stupid drunk and, you know, she couldn't remember some of what happened. And is it something I'm proud of? No. Is it something I want my kids to do? No. So it's not something you would typically put out there. But in the conversation I was having with my daughter at the time, I needed her to understand that even, you know, even smart people, even the good kid can make a bad choice. And that's, you know, when her eyes popped open and she kind of freaked out a little bit, I told her, I said, I'm telling you this because, one, I think you're old enough to know that. Two, you know your mother's not perfect. I mean, you've known that for a long time. But three, you need to understand that you can make a bad choice. Fortunately for me, it didn't have a bad outcome.
Right.
But there could have been bad outcomes. So it's that being authentic. It's that, where do you put yourself? Do you make yourself important? Do you take care of yourself? Are you using healthy coping strategies in your own life? Those are the places that are harder. And this is actually what I use as a litmus test for how I'm doing in my life is I look at my kids and I go, what are they doing that I don't think they should be doing? Oh, she's not sleeping because she's trying to finish all the stuff for all these projects. She's trying to put all these other people first. Then I go back and go, am I doing that? Have I been doing that? Because she learned it from me.
Very good. So look at our kids in order to figure out whether or not we are modeling the healthy behaviors or the good choices in general. Now, that was a good conversation, by the way, also that you had with your daughter. It's a hard conversation. It's not easy at all. Admitting that you don't make good choices or you did not make good choices always, but that opens up a conversation. It talks about if this happens, don't get in a car. If it happens to your friend, take away their keys so that you can use it as a powerful way to have these really hard, challenging conversations with your kids. I love that. Okay. So number two, you said invest. What are you talking about?
So it takes more time, more energy, and more emotion to help your child learn and grow by doing. But that is the best way for them to become that adult that you want them to be. It is also the best way to grow your relationship. And one way to think about this, we hear about resiliency. It's every place now. It's to the point where I really kind of can't stand the word, but it's true. Our kids need resiliency, and that means they need to do things. They need to make decisions and clean up the consequences. Well, when we allow our kids to do those things, at age-appropriate levels, but the more we let them take responsibility for their life, for making their decisions, for making their own choices, without us saying, well, I think you could do this, and, you know, this would be a better path, without doing any of that. The other reason that builds a powerful relationship with your teen is they see that you believe in them, that you have confidence in them, that you know that they make good choices, and that even if they don't, they can deal with it.
So what do you say then to parents? And I hear this all the time from parents. My child comes to me, my teen, young adult comes to me and says, what do you think, mom? Or what do you think, dad? What do you tell parents then in order to let them make the decision? What can they say?
Yeah, where I generally start with something like that is I say, I have no problem in giving you my thoughts or my opinion. Before I do that, I'd like to know what you think. If I see that they've spent time really thinking about this and they have some ideas and they see some options, then I'll enter into a conversation with them at that point. If they haven't done that, I'll ask them and say, well, have you really had time to think about this? And if they say no, I say, well, take some time, you know, think about it. You know, see what thoughts you come up with, what options, what things you see could be good, could be bad, could go wrong, and then come back and we'll talk more about it then. How does that sound to you? Or just how, you know, we'll come back and we'll talk about it then. So I make sure that they've done that. In fact, again, my daughter a couple months ago, she was trying to make a decision about it. Fairly important things. That's, you know, future job offers and internships and things. And I heard her talking to her friend and she said, yeah, I haven't asked my mom yet because there's no way she'll tell me what she thinks right now. She makes me sit in the stew for a while first and then she'll tell me.
I love it. I love it. That's what my kids say too, Sandy. Like, you know, we'll come to you, but we better know that you're going to be asking questions to us rather than giving an answer. And, you know, I don't think that's so bad. I think that
it's not bad to you. It's perfect.
Yeah. Right. And what you said, an emotionally healthy teen really is someone who they know that you're there to get their back, you know, that to watch their back, that you're a true support for them. So asking questions, being a sounding board is amazing, right?
Right. And it's just, you know, what do you think about that? What options have you come up with? What do you see that could go wrong in that? What would be great if you did that way? What would happen if you didn't do it? That's the place to start. What did they think about it? Ask questions about what they think, and then see if you still think it's appropriate to share your thoughts.
Very good. So we have model and invest. And then the third strategy that you want to talk about is communicate.
Yeah. In communication, we'll keep this real short, right? So communication is about, you want it to be a safe space. You want no judgment. And part of no judgment even means not giving an opinion that was not specifically solicited, because it feels like judgment to our kids. Right. Or even just diving in before they're ready or before they've asked with those questions that we were talking about, that feels like judgment. So just be quiet. Listen, let them talk, don't be judgmental, and continue that. So as they're going through their teen years, I think of it this way. Communication, a good two-way communication becomes more of a one-way street. It is more and more and more about them talking and us listening, and maybe, you know, starting out with those little tiny questions. So the more you're talking, the less you're communicating.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So it becomes a different kind of interaction with your kids as they get older. And I would argue too, Sandy, that it's not just not talking, but it's also watching your nonverbal language, because we can judge by our eyes, by our hands, by our body language. So as parents, we need to be careful to have a safe space, both verbally and nonverbally.
I totally agree, Terry. And I love that you brought up that point, because yes, if you're standing there and, you know, with your totally straight back and your arms crossed across your chest, they're going to know totally what you think.
Right. So, and we know studies show that the truth lies in the nonverbal, everybody. So watch your nonverbal. Watch how you're standing, like you said, Sandy. Watch how your eyes, your facial expression, so important. So I love it. Model, invest, and communicate. And then we are a true support for our children. Now, Sandy, we only have a few minutes left. So what can listeners gain by coming to the website Mighty Parenting, or even to ASEAM?
So Mighty Parenting is for, you know, any parents. We gear our work toward parents of teens and 20-somethings. And what we're doing is building community. We have on the website, you'll see that you can join our Facebook group. You can listen to the podcast. You can get information and you can get support for you as a parent of a teen or 20-something. If you have been dealing with or are concerned about one who tried to do things to prevent dealing with depression, addiction, or suicide attempts in your family, then visit dasium.net. That is where we dig into that work, and we help parents just know, you know, what warning signs, what do you need to look for? If you think there's a problem, what steps can you take, and help walk you through those first stages, because they can be very scary. And again, we just don't know. These aren't things that we discuss as a society, right, Terry?
Right. Absolutely. We need to discuss more as well. So great. So we've got mightyparenting.com, dasium.net. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me, Sandy. It is always such a pleasure to talk with you. And today, such an important topic, building a strong relationship with your teen.
Thank you, Terry. I, as always, not only have a good time, but always get new insights from you when we chat. So thank you.
Thank you. I love this back and forth affirmation, which is something we need to remember also for our children. Our children need to know that they're special, that they're wonderful, and they're unique. So we need to give them affirmation. Make sure that you notice your children and you do not take them for granted. So listeners, if you want to learn more about Sandy Fowler and Mighty Parenting, you can connect with her again on mightyparenting.com or on Facebook and Twitter. Mighty Parenting. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.